cheering, and they have this expectation, don't they, of their King Messiah coming to overthrow the enemy and set them free. That's their expectations. The trouble is they probably at that time were unaware of a bigger picture, a bigger story that was playing out. And this is about the story of the Messiah, King Jesus, who was on his way to the cross in order to bring salvation, not just for the Jews, but for the whole world. And it's this bigger picture that I want us to be thinking about this morning. And I want to actually talk about the story of Lazarus. And this story is also full of great expectations, which is the title of my talk. It's also full of lots of desperate disappointments. And it's in the middle of all the emotion that's flying around that you get these incredible words of Jesus when he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And I think that phrase is actually the big picture. That's really what it's all about, that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. It's a really long scripture. It's in John chapter 11, verses 1 to 44. I could skip it, but it's such a great story. So I want to read the story, if we can have the next slide. And, rather than have the text in front of you that you glue your eyes on, I want you to close your eyes and immerse yourself in the story. Imagine you're there. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days, and then he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe. But let's go to him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if only you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied, "I believe that you're the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." After she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and he's asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. When she reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who'd come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you'll see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and he said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Amen. Next slide. You know, as we step through this story, I want to highlight three emotional cries of Martha. And I've paraphrased these emotional cries. Why didn't you stop this from happening? I know you can. I'm just struggling to believe that you will. It's too late. It's gone too far. This can't be put right now. Okay, and it's in this context of these emotional cries that Jesus states he's the resurrection and the life. Well, the story starts in Bethany with Lazarus being very sick, so much so that Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, send for Jesus. However, when Jesus hears about Lazarus, he stays there, doesn't he, for another two days before deciding to travel over to Bethany. And this is really intriguing. Now, we read, don't we, that Jesus was really close to the family. He loved them dearly. So you really would have expected that Jesus would have dropped everything and legged it, you know, back to where Lazarus was to do something about it. But the fact that Jesus made this statement, this illness would not lead to death, also seems to suggest that what the messengers came and told Jesus was pretty serious. They probably said, Jesus, you've got to come quickly. Lazarus is about to die. So I think that makes it even harder to understand in some ways. Why didn't Jesus just drop everything and go and meet his friend Lazarus? It seems pretty cold and uncaring in the natural, doesn't it? And when Jesus finally arrives in Bethany, you know, Martha's there waiting for him and she pours her heart out to him. And it's not surprising. It says, if you'd only been here, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. It's actually a remarkable statement of faith. She really believed that Jesus could have stopped Lazarus from dying. But in the middle of these words, there's a kind of a desperate cry, isn't there? Why, Lord? Why didn't you stop Lazarus from dying? Why weren't you here? You could have done something. Why did my brother have to die? Why? If you'd been here, my brother would not have died. That statement is full of faith, but it was mingled with disappointment, hurt, anger, confusion. Who here has never felt those kinds of feelings when things around you are all going pear-shaped? Why? It's a hard question, isn't it? God, why did you let this happen? Why didn't you answer my prayers? Why didn't you heal my husband, my wife, my child? Why is my marriage falling apart? Why is this happening to me? Why is a hard question. However, I think there are some things that we can learn from this story. Let's go back, shall we, to the moment when Jesus hears the news. You might not appreciate this, maybe you do if you've studied this in detail, but it's very likely, in fact, that Lazarus was already dead when Jesus got message from of his illness. You know, why do I think this? Well, Jesus was across the other side of the river where John the Baptist had been doing a lot of baptizing. It's thought to be about 20 miles away, and in Bible times, that would be considered a day's journey. We know later that Lazarus had been in the tomb 4 days. That's when Jesus arrived. So if you do the calculations, a day's walk to meet Jesus. Jesus stayed there 2 days and a day's back. That's 4 days. So if he'd been in the tomb 4 days, then Lazarus must have died pretty well the moment the messengers set off to come to Jesus. Now, there are lots of theories as to why Jesus stayed 2 days. They're really worth looking into, but I'm not going to cover those. But one thing's for sure is that, you know, Jesus knew what was happening. What could he possibly meant when he said this sickness will not end in death? You know, Lazarus was dead. Jesus knew that Lazarus was dead. And this is where we start to get the bigger picture. See, I think what Jesus was trying to say here was death is not going to have its final word today. Something much bigger is going to happen, and God is going to receive all the glory. Next slide. Thing is, when you're in a crisis, You don't tend to think big picture, do you? When things are falling around, you're in pain and suffering, you're hurting. That's all you can see. It's kind of right there in your face, isn't it? And you don't, it's hard to step back and think, God, you know, what is there something really big going on here? And I think this is exactly where Mary and Martha are. They are absolutely desperate. It must seem to them like Jesus had other things on his mind, or maybe he didn't even care. They're just desperate. And I've already said this. Jesus was not out of rest. He was in control. He knew that there was a bigger purpose going on here. And he knew that God was going to get all the glory. I think sometimes, you know, when times are desperate and we really feel we're up against it and we have endless questions of why God, why God, why God, it's actually really good, like Martha, like Mary, to pour your heart out to Jesus. Let it out. Tell him how you feel. He wants to hear. He wants to hear those desperate cries of your heart. But as you do that, somehow find it in yourself to step back and believe there's something bigger going on, and that Jesus, that God is not out of control in your situation, and he dearly, dearly cares. Let's look at this next cry, this next emotional cry of Martha. She says, I know you can, but I'm just struggling to believe that you actually will. What do I mean by that? Lord, Martha says to Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And then she goes on to say, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Which I think suggests that Martha truly believes that even now Jesus can do something. Now, whether she believes Jesus can raise Lazarus from the dead, well, we'll have to wait and see. But she does believe that Jesus can do something. And Jesus replies by telling her that Lazarus will rise again. And this is kind of where it gets interesting, because what Martha then, you know, Martha's just spoken these incredible words of faith. And yet when Jesus says that Lazarus will rise again, she thinks that Jesus is talking about the end times. She says, oh, yes, I know he'll rise again in the last day. I suspect she finds some comfort in that. You know, that Lazarus's eternity is secure, and she finds comfort. However, I don't think Martha was understanding at this time, and neither did the Pharisees, incidentally, that there would be no resurrection without Jesus. Jesus said, at this point, when he's trying to get Martha to understand, and she's thinking about the end times, you know, Jesus, I suspect he looks eyeball to eyeball. Sorry, I'm a bit intimidating. But, you know, eyeball to eyeball says, Martha, I'm the resurrection and the life. It's me. It's me. I'm the resurrection and the life. You know, the only way Lazarus was going to rise from the dead, it was nothing to do with the fact that he was a Jew. It had nothing to do with the fact that he probably obeyed the law all his life. If Lazarus was going to be raised from the dead, it was going to be because of his relationship with Jesus. That is the only way Lazarus is going to rise from the dead. Next slide. Now, Martha probably needed time to take this in. But before she could take it in, Jesus carries on. And he says, the one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Well, you know, in 2024, this is great stuff. You know, in 2024, we think about Jesus, the resurrection of the life. We think about the kingdom of God. We think about the now and the not yet of the kingdom of God. You heard those phrases? You know, we believe that in the end times, you know, we'll be raised up. We'll have imperishable bodies. Isn't that fantastic? You know, there'll be no suffering. There'll be no wars. We'll be in the presence of God for eternity. Wow, this is fantastic. But then we talk about, but we can bring some of that kingdom of God into the now. We can experience healing. We can experience overcoming. We can be in the presence of God. We can have the Holy Spirit within us. And these are the kind of things that we think about the kingdom of God and the resurrection and the life. Poor Mary. I don't think she thought of any of that at all. She was desperate. Absolutely desperate. And so when she says, do you believe this? She says, yes, Lord, I believe you're the Messiah, the Son of God who's come into the world. I actually think what she's actually saying is, Jesus, I don't know what I believe, to be really honest with you. I haven't a clue what you're talking about. But I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. And in some ways, that's all she needed. And as we get to the end of the story, you know, even though I think Martha believed in Jesus and believed he was the Son of God and believed he was the Messiah, she still struggles to believe that Jesus was going to actually raise Lazarus from the dead. But we'll come to that. I suspect many of us have faced situations where we need a miracle. And this is what Martha needed. Wasn't she needed a miracle? And sometimes believing for miracles is hard. You know, towards the end of last year, I attended a concert with Cody Carnes and Carrie Jobe. It was in Bath. Some of you may have gone there, I don't know. And during that time of worship, one of the guys stood up. He was a pastor of the church, and he felt stirred to pray for people to have healing. And both Kim and I were, you know, near the back of the church. And Kim had been really unwell all day. She in a lot of pain with her arthritis. I was personally also in a lot of pain. I'd got a really stiff neck. I could hardly turn my head. And so when this minister was saying, look, just reach out. Just reach out, and I'm going to pray right now for healing. I said, amen, amen. And the music was playing, and I had my hands raised, and I was worshiping God, and I was praying over myself, and I was praying over Kim, and I was praying for healing. Guess what happened? Nothing. Goodness me, I thought you were supposed to be a preacher of faith. And I went out of that meeting in as much pain as I went into that meeting. Can I explain it? No. Do I believe that Jesus could have healed me? 100%. Did I believe that Jesus would heal me? I don't know. I don't know. I wanted him to. I really wanted him to. But could I, hand on heart, absolutely categorically say that Jesus would heal me? I don't know. This is the dilemma, you see, because sometimes God heals and sometimes God doesn't. And we can't really explain why that is the case. Is it to do with the faith of the person, you know, wanting to be healed? Is it to do with the faith of the person praying? Is it simply down to the will of God? These questions are really hard. And it makes me think of this incredible scripture in Mark 9:24. Where it says, I believe, help me in my unbelief. Do you get that? I believe, but help me in my unbelief. It's like we have this tension all the time, belief and unbelief. I think this is exactly where Martha is in this story. She absolutely believed in Jesus. She believed that he could do anything. I know even now, God, God will give you whatever you ask. But in the here and now, Jesus actually raising Lazarus from the dead? It's just a bit hard for her to believe. Your heart has to go out to her, doesn't it? Because we would be just the same, wouldn't we? We'd be just the same. I just can't answer why God heals sometimes and why he doesn't. And I wish I had answers, but you know, sometimes answers don't help. Just got to believe in Jesus. Does it stop me from praying for people or praying for myself? Never. I'll always pray for people to be healed, and I'll always believe that God can, and maybe God will. But it's ultimately down to God, isn't it? But it's our relationship with Jesus that's paramount. We have to believe and trust in Jesus. Let's consider the last cry of Martha. It's too late. It's gone too far. This can't be put right now. So after running off to fetch Mary, and Mary having a kind of a similar dialogue with Jesus as Martha had already had, Jesus tells them to move the stone away. And Martha says, you can't do that. It's going to stink. That's essentially what she's saying, isn't it? It's been in the tomb 4 days. And then Jesus reminds her of the conversation. Well, didn't I just tell you? If you believe, then you'll see God's glory. So even though she said she believes, she seems now to be struggling to believe in the here and now. And I think this is what Martha, I think, was struggling with. Not that Jesus couldn't have healed and risen, raised Lazarus from the dead. I think she truly believed that Jesus could have done it if he'd have done it on time. But it's too late now. The moment's gone. Lazarus couldn't be more dead unless he'd been a skeleton. You know, I mean, this man was seriously dead. You know, from time to time, we find ourselves, don't we, in impossible situations. And we might say to ourselves, might we, it's too late. It's gone too far. There's no way back. Have you ever said any of these things? It's hopeless. It's lost forever. There's no chance of putting it right. It can't be repaired. It's a write-off. It's time to give up. I think in these situations, Jesus is trying to say to us, look, stop focusing on the situation and focus on me. Focus on me. I am the resurrection and the life. I can restore your marriage. I can restore your health. I can restore your finances. I can restore your job. I can restore you. But first, I need you to believe not in those things, but I need you to believe in me, as Jesus. Because outside of me, there is no life. Because I am the resurrection and the life. It's all about faith in Jesus. There's a wonderful song, you may sing it here, by Philippa Hannah. It goes like this. It says, when all foundations have been shaken, when I'm left standing in the dark, and all I feel is my heart breaking, you still reign. And you're still God. And when it feels all hope has faded and the heavy questions hit so hard, and though my soul may feel forsaken, you still reign and you're still God. You know, after Jesus corrects Martha, the stone's rolled away, Jesus commands Lazarus to come out from the grave. And as a result, many, many people believe in Jesus, although there were some who started to stir up trouble and plot to kill Jesus, which incidentally, of course, is the necessary next step for the big picture to happen. God's glory, salvation of the world. Next slide. Now, if we fast forward to the end of the Gospels, we go past Palm Sunday, we find Jesus' ultimate demonstration, don't we, over the power of death. He goes all the way to the cross. He dies for our sins. He rises again on the third day, and he walks out of that tomb alive. We should never, ever think that something is too difficult for God to restore. We should never think there is no way back. We should never think that it's too late. We should never think that it's just gone too far. And we should never think that we have gone too far away from God, that he cannot reach us. But how God answers the cries of our hearts. Well, you know, I can't tell you categorically he'll answer it this way, that way, or that way. What I can tell you is God loves. God loves you, which is how I want to wrap up this meeting now in closing. You know, we've thought a lot about the emotions of Martha and to a degree of Mary too. It's a highly emotional story. However, several times we read that Jesus himself was deeply moved. And his emotions seem to climax at that well-known and shortest scripture in the Bible, Jesus wept. Now, there's been a lot of debate over what that phrase really means. Was it Jesus wept? Was that a cry of sadness and emotion? You know that kind of feeling you get when someone shares their heart, they are broken, they are hurting, they are emotional, and you get caught up in, quite rightly so, you get caught up in their emotions, and you want to cry too as you feel their pain. And maybe that's what Jesus was doing. Some other people feel that it was a more of an anger at the at what was happening, anger at the ultimate enemy. Well, you can decide for yourself by doing your own studies, but I think what we can categorically say about Jesus and what we can categorically say about God, he is not indifferent to our suffering and our pain. When these things hit our lives, God feels it. And in the same way, I believe, as Jesus felt all the emotion and felt all the pain in that time with Mary and Martha, I believe when we suffer, when we're going through heartache and when we don't understand and when we're crying out to God saying, why is this happening? Why aren't you answering my prayers? Why? I feel God feels it. Feels it with every ounce of his feelings. We should never entertain the thought that God does not care, because he does. You know, on Palm Sunday, amidst all the cheering and all the palms that were being thrown out on the road before him, you know, Jesus started his walk towards the cross, where he ultimately demonstrated the incredible love for the world, for you and for me, for this broken world. One day, he's going to make all things new. One day, all pain and suffering will be gone forever. But until then, we must walk by faith. We cry out to God. But we have to believe that Jesus, he is the resurrection and the life. It's always in him we find the answer. Amen.